Bongdao hacked for 120 million and Headcrab infects 1,200 Redis servers. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 3rd of February and this podcast episode is brought to you by Proofpoint. In today's top story, a ransomware attack on Ion Trading, a UK-based company that makes trading software, is impacting several major European and US banks. The company's software is used to process derivatives trades across the stock, bond, and commodities markets. Bloomberg News says the outage has impacted at least 42 customers, some of which are processing trades manually. They're also having problems with regulatory reporting. Ion Trading confirmed the incident in a statement on its website, but said the attack only hit one of its software environments and that all affected servers have now been disconnected. Most of the affected banks are based in Europe. Bloomberg has identified the ransomware gang behind the attack as Lockbit. In other news, hackers are exploiting a zero-day vulnerability in Go Anywhere MFT, a web-based file transfer application typically used in corporate environments. Fortra, the company behind Go Anywhere, says the app's administrative panel is exploitable, but the public web service designed for regular users is unaffected. Fortra says its customers should restrict access to the admin interface until it releases a patch. According to security researcher Kevin Beaumont, there are roughly 1,000 internet-accessible Go Anywhere MFT servers listed on Shodan, although it's unclear how many of these systems have their admin panels exposed. Security flaws in enterprise file transfer solutions like Go Anywhere have caused some major problems in the past. Bugs in Accelion FTA and Solyton's FileZen file sharing and file transfer products resulted in major data breaches in 2020 and in 2021. The Bongdao cryptocurrency lending platform has confirmed an attacker used an Oracle attack to exploit a vulnerability in its Bong protocol to manipulate the price of the Alliance block tokens available via its platform. The company is still investigating the impact of the hack, but blockchain security firm PeckShield has estimated the losses to be at 120 million worth of crypto assets. The attacker is currently trying to launder the stolen funds into more mainstream coins. The incident is this year's largest cryptocurrency heist so far. The US Federal Trade Commission has fined telehealth and discount prescription drug provider GoodRx $1.5 million for sharing the personal and health information of its customers with online advertisers. The FTC says that in 2019, GoodRx compiled lists of its users who used their apps or visited their site to purchase particular medications, like those used to treat heart disease and blood pressure. These lists included a buyer's email address, phone number, and mobile advertising ID. The FTC says GoodRx uploaded these lists to Facebook's ad platform so it could identify its users' real-world profiles and then re-advertise its products to the same users with targeted advertising. Iran's Minister of Communications and Information Technology, Aiza Zipor, says the large-scale disruptions to the country's internet connectivity that took place last week were the result of a cyber attack. The attack allegedly hit Tehran's internet traffic exchange node and resulted in a sudden decrease in traffic. The official didn't elaborate on the nature of the incident. The Russian government will go ahead with its plan to impose major fines and even prison terms on IT administrators and their managers in the aftermath of major data breaches. The initiative was announced in May 2022. If passed, the Russian government will be able to fine individuals 300,000 to 2 million rubles or imprison them for up to 10 years if their companies get hacked and user data is stolen or leaked and they're found to be at fault. Nicholas Sharp, who's a former employee of US networking equipment maker Ubiquiti, has pleaded guilty to stealing gigabytes of sensitive documents and then trying to extort the company back in 2021. Sharp is infamous for approaching InfoSec reporter Brian Krebs under the pretext that he was a whistleblower trying to expose a severe data breach at Ubiquiti. In fact, the employee, whose bona fides as a Ubiquiti staffer were verified by Krebs, had executed the breach himself and was trying to use media coverage to pressure the company to pay a ransom. Krebs was sued by Ubiquiti for the article he wrote based on Sharp's fabrications, and the matter was settled out of court. Security researchers at Trend Micro have spotted a new threat actor engaging in a BEC campaign targeting large companies all over the world. Named Water D-Book, this threat actor has been active since April 2022 and heavily relies on open source tools, which has allowed it to remain under the radar for months. In particular, the group used phishing toolkits like BanaxBot and Evil Jinx to power their phishing pages, which they used to obtain employee credentials. Cloud security company AquaSec has identified a new threat actor named Headcrab that since September 2021 has utilised state-of-the-art and custom-made malware to take over Redis database servers. AquaSec says the group is currently managing a botnet of more than 1,200 infected Redis DBs. Just like most botnets targeting cloud systems these days, the botnet appears to be focused on mining cryptocurrency. DDoS mitigation company Radware has identified a new DDoS botnet named Passion that is being used by pro-Russian hacktivist groups to launch attacks against Western targets. The botnet has been linked to attacks carried out by groups like Killnet and Anonymous Russia. Many of these attacks took place around January 27 and targeted healthcare companies in the US, the EU and the UK as retaliation for sending tanks in support of Ukraine. Early this week, the US Department of Health and Human Services issued a security alert about Killnet using DDoS attacks to disrupt services at US healthcare providers. Sophos security researchers recently discovered malicious apps being used for pig butchering financial scams in the official Apple and Google mobile app stores. Two apps made it on the App Store and one app made it on the Play Store, but all were removed following Sophos's report. Pig butchering refers to a type of scam where threat actors approach victims on dating sites, build a rapport with them, and then move the conversations onto financial topics before luring victims into making fraudulent financial or cryptocurrency investments. A new ransomware as a service operation named Nevada is making waves on underground cybercrime forums. The service is offering a new strain of ransomware to prospective partners who are being encouraged to hack into corporate networks and deploy it. Nevada has already attracted the interest of many initial access brokers and other ransomware affiliates because it promises to let them keep between 85 and 90% of any successful ransom payment. Spotted by security firm ReSecurity, the company says it already saw threat actors from Iran, China, the EU, and ex-USSR countries showing interest in the service. A new advanced persistent threat APT group named Icebreaker has been seen launching operations against online gaming and gambling companies since at least September last year. According to a report from threat intel firm Security Joes, the group uses novel, never-before-seen malware and a clever way of infecting companies. So, security researchers say the group uses the online tech support chat windows available via a victim's official website to lure its customer support agents to a website supposedly holding a screenshot of their problem. However, the link actually leads to a malicious file that, when executed, installs the group's malware, a custom-built backdoor that grants the attacker access to a company's internal network. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is Proofpoint's EVP of Cybersecurity Strategy, Ryan Kalamba, who will run over the details of a major phishing campaign the company discovered running on Microsoft's Cloud Partner Program, employing verified OAuth applications. Here's Ryan with more.
Now, the twist in these new campaigns, which we found primarily targeting users in the UK with a fair degree of success, was that they were actually showing up as verified publishers. So they had blue ticks. It didn't even cost the threat actor $8 a month to do that. What they actually had to do was actually set up a new account that more or less looked convincingly like an existing trusted brand, Zoom being a particular example in this case, and change what the display name for the publisher looked like, because the verified publisher would be close, but not exactly the same. This is a process vulnerability rather than a technical vulnerability, but led to an extremely successful form of social engineering. Now, an OAuth or consent phishing attack has all kinds of advantages for, say, a business email compromise actor, because they get access to everything that the user trusts them with in Microsoft 365, basically the ability to send email, read email, create new mailbox rules, get all the access to data in M365 they would ever need. And they can get around defensive controls that we tend to rely quite a lot on, like multi-factor authentication, or even things like FIDO2, because the victim in this case is not logging into a fake site or even proxying into a real site. The threat actor never even sees the credentials. All they get is the OAuth grant of access, which is more than enough for their purposes. We, of course, responsibly disclosed this to Microsoft, and they were able to remove the three malicious apps that we had seen in the UK in late December and are working on improvements to their verification process to prevent this type of technique from being useful ever again. This is a particularly insidious type of attack because a lot of organizations aren't even looking at what OAuth apps their users are trusting or have policy or approval settings that would allow something that looked like a verified publisher to slip through their cracks and gain access to Microsoft 365. The full blog for those interested in the technical details is up on our website now. And while you're there, please also check out our new Threat Insight blog about OneNote malware, which is yet again a thing. Thanks very much.
And that was Ryan Callenber from today's sponsor, Proofpoint. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for listening.